From a distance, he looked like a young adult, medium height, light-haired. A closer look at his face would have revealed the untried and unexpressed experience of life, a kind of tentativeness that some adolescents have. This afternoon, he looked even younger, digging through the pockets of his short coat, looking for the key to the tall, narrow house in front of him. He had come home early from high school because his last class had been canceled. Evading an invitation to go out with classmates, he had come here for a little peace and quiet and to read. He knew his stepmother, Clara, who drove a delivery van for a florist, would be at work for another 3 hours. His father might have been at work, or might not. No matter, he found his keys and trotted up the ironwork steps. Closing the door behind him, he sensed a strangeness in the house. It was quiet, but with a dense sort of silence. Puzzled, he called out, "Tu fais quoi?" As if someone were there, but intentionally keeping quiet or hiding. He wondered if his father was home, knocked lightly on the closed door to the larger of the two bedrooms. Sometimes his father slept during the day, if he'd had a bad night. No response, so he went slowly in. A shocking, foul smell hit him like a heavy curtain. His next impression was that his father had left in an unusual hurry, changing clothes and throwing the old ones in a heap on the floor. Then he saw the immense pool of blood spreading, following the slight slope of the floor. His father lay on the floor with half his face gone. His old handgun lay in the pooling blood.
And this is how we meet Kurt Schaefer, one of the book's main characters. In the next chapter, we fast forward a dozen years to when Kurt is a professor of English at UW-Madison. He reunites with his late father's sister, Eva, in the northern Illinois town of Linden Grove. During the visit, we get some background on Kurt's German family. His father and Eva were children when they got cut off from the West when the Berlin Wall went up in 1961. Kurt's dissident grandparents were murdered, presumably by the government, and his father grew up in a state orphanage that appears to have been more like a prison. After the Berlin Wall came down, Kurt's parents left for Canada. They got divorced, and we heard moments ago what happened to Kurt's father. Describe how Kurt has dealt with his father's suicide during the ensuing years.
Well, I suppose like anyone, he felt guilty. Anyone who has experienced a suicide of a friend or a family member has a sort of an irrational sense of guilt. And not only that, it was a very dysfunctional family. Kurt's father was in a re-education camp, it was called, by the Stasi. And he was abused in many ways. And when he grew up and had Kurt, he still couldn't shake his past and probably had PTSD. And he had remarried unhappily. And as Kurt finally was able to get away from his family and background, he carried all that with him. It was his baggage.
His Aunt Eva owns a horse riding center called Long Creek Stable. The facility is a therapeutic riding center managed by a woman named Skylar, or Sky. Now, I have never heard of therapeutic riding before I read this book. Give us a thumbnail about what it is, how it works.
Well, it's wonderful. I boarded horses at a place near Byron years and years ago where there was such a facility. And riders of all ages, even adults and children, can benefit from this kind of introduction to horses and riding, physically and emotionally. I noticed at the time that there were a lot of kids with cerebral palsy. And one of the things that riding a horse does is it relaxes muscles and it decreases spasticity. And it was just the emotional effect of being close to an animal like that, that was that large but very gentle, that was very moving sometimes to watch these kids respond. Adults can benefit from this program. Veterans, again, people with PTSD, sometimes people who come back with amputated limbs, can learn to ride a horse. Seems impossible of all the things that they might do to ride a horse, but it's a great accomplishment.
Let's get back to Kurt. He is translating, as part of his research, an old English poem called The Wanderer. He's trying to translate it from Anglo-Saxon to modern English. Tell us about the poem, The Wanderer, and its significance.
That is a poem about a man who was knocked unconscious or wounded and wakes up alone after a battle in the 6th century. He wakes up and he spends the next few years of his life looking for someone who knew him. And the metaphor, of course, is rowing through the icy waters of the sea. It's a very cold setting. And in the part of the poem that Sarah, one of the characters, reads with Kurt, the narrator describes himself as a frozen spirit. And that is what has happened to Kurt.
The poem at the center of this novel is The Wanderer. You titled your book The Wanderers, and this title reminds me that you include a lot of characters. As a reader following these characters, I felt like everybody was sort of wandering, not aimlessly, but wandering towards something, but maybe not fully understanding where they were headed.
And I think that's what life is about. You know, I think we all do that at different times in our lives. And if we're lucky, we find a home, quote, home. It could be a physical home, a spiritual home, an intellectual home, but we're wandering toward that home.
And as a writer, are you still wandering toward that home?
I suppose so, but not as much as I was when I was younger, which puts me in awe of the wonderful writers we all read who are young. And I think, why did it take me so long to grow up? But I now find it gratifying to look back on the things that I've learned, which is what we want to put in our novels, I think, the things we've learned.
Mary Dale Stewart is the author of The Wanderers at WNIJ.org. You can see a video of her reading another excerpt from this novel. Mary Dale Stewart, thank you very much.
And thank you, Dan.